The NFL draft, one of the biggest nights of the NFL calendar. It has less buzz. I'm not going to say it's going to have lower ratings, but it has less buzz than the WNBA draft from just a week ago. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? Because the top pick is a quarterback from USC that paints his fingernails. That's why Caitlin Clark is a bigger deal than Caleb Williams, and why this NFL draft that starts tonight has no buzz. I'll explain. Welcome to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I'm Jason Whitlock, your host. Happy Thursday. Thanks for joining me. Awesome show planned for you today. Coach Jason Brown, the real JB, just around the corner. He's going to help me unpack all of this draft coverage, the things that I want to get into about this quarterback class that's being compared to the 1983 quarterback class. Miss me with all of that, but I'll explain here in a second. The first thing you guys can do is make sure you're checking out extra Fearless content on Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/fearless. Use my promo code Fearless and you can save $20 on your yearly subscription. It's the best thing you can do to support this show is get yourself a Blaze TV subscription. Listen, we got a lot of forces lined up against us. I need you to line up with us by getting a Blaze TV subscription. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers is locking in your price until 2026. When you subscribe to any of their boxes of 100% American meat and seafood, use my promo code Fearless at GoodRanchers.com and save 10%. We love you, Good Ranchers. Thank you for loving us. Let me get to this fire starter or this conversation. I want to lay the groundwork for a conversation Jay Bray and I, Jason Brown and I, will have here shortly. Caleb Williams and whether or not the Chicago Bears are going to take him at the top of the NFL draft tonight. That's the big question, big mystery. But let me tell you, no one really cares. NFL insiders care. NFL people over Twitter care, but does the public care? No. No, they don't. Caleb Williams and this entire NFL draft class, I don't know if we've seen a draft class with this little buzz. The best player in this draft is Marvin Harrison, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. He ain't Randy Moss. He may have a very good NFL career. He may be who's the guy that plays for the Minnesota Vikings? Ja'Marr Chase plays for the Bengals, who's good, but the Justin Jefferson. Yeah, Justin Jefferson for the Minnesota Vikings. That's who Marvin Harrison kind of reminds me of. But he ain't Randy Moss. He doesn't take the top off of defense the way Randy Moss did. He doesn't create that kind of electricity and excitement. This draft is a bust. And that doesn't mean I'm saying all these players are a bust. I'm saying there's no hype. There's no anticipation. And it furthers my point. And I know y'all think I got Caitlin Clark derangement syndrome. That's all I want to talk about. But this is the most fascinating story in the history of sports or in the recent history of sports that a woman is the biggest star in sports. And I can hammer that point by pointing to this NFL draft. It's one of the biggest events on the sports calendar, but it has no buzz. And the WNBA draft, a league we don't care about, a league filled with angry women, they had all the buzz because they got Caitlin Clark. And we think like, oh my God, Caitlin Clark could not only change whatever team the Indiana Fever, the drafts are, but she could change that entire league. There's no one in this draft tonight that's changing any teams. None of these quarterbacks, from Caleb Williams, who's a nut job or He's too into pushing the envelope and being different. His college career, I mean, USC stunk last year. This dude out here painting his fingernails and all this feminine energy, jumping up into the stadium, crying in his mother's arms. There's a good chance that the biggest story tonight will be what color Caleb Williams paints his fingernails and whether or not he decides to put a dress on for tonight's WNBA NFL draft. That's the big story. What color his fingernails will be and whether or not he may put on a dress at some point. And you wonder why we're not excited, we're not enthused. You wonder why the Bears need to be trading out of that pick and avoiding Caleb Williams at all cost. But even the rest of this draft class, who is Drake May? I mean, honestly, who is Drake May? Does he go to Duke or North Carolina? I can't remember. But this Drake May, this other quarterback prospect and again, I don't know where he's supposed to go. I read a story that Michigan's quarterback, God bless him, they won the national championship. Hats off to you, JJ. But I've read somewhere where people talk about he could be the number one pick in the draft. I nearly fell out of my chair. JJ this guy is a fourth round pick at best in a normal draft. Before we overvalued the QB position, before we made the QB position so easy to play, anybody would look at JJ McCarthy and be like, fourth, fifth rounder. Guy's not that accurate. Played on a great running team, great coach, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh did for JJ McCarthy the same thing he did for Colin Kaepernick. People are talking about JJ McCarthy, top first five pick or even top of the draft. Are you kidding me? I don't want to take a dump on the kid, but again, that's why there's no buzz about this draft, because none of this is real. None of these Jaden Daniels, the kid out of LSU, hey, had a great season. Nice stats. Love the guy's like he's black Chris Winkie. He's damn near 30 years old. He's been playing college football for 7-8 years. You remember Chris Winkie that went and played baseball and then entered the NFL at 27 or whatever? But and maybe he'll be great, because the NFL is so watered down and weak that anybody can look great playing quarterback for a period of time. Hello, Dak Prescott. Have you seen his numbers? Does anybody really believe he's a franchise quarterback? I'm not trying to take a dump on Dak, but I'm just speaking factually here about what's going on at the quarterback position. We know that there are no real game changers. We know that the game has been changed. And if these guys can put up stats and look good for a moment, but franchise quarterbacks in this group, Bo Nix, Andy Dalton with good hair. I like Bo Nix in college. He played a couple of two or three different places. Loved him last year at Oregon. But he's Andy Dalton. Who am I leaving? Oh, Michael Penix. Another Chris Winkie. He's been everywhere. Washington, Indiana. Maybe I'm missing something. Did he have a cup of coffee at UC? I can't remember. Injuries. He's been around forever. There's no franchise quarterback in this draft. There are guys that may enter the NFL and put up good stats. But franchise quarterbacks and comparing them to the 1983 class? I guess because there's so many of them, but I'm sorry that I've lived this long. I'm sorry that my memory still works and I don't have Alzheimer's yet. But the 1983 class, when John Elway, when he came out in 1983, was considered the greatest QB prospect of all time. Played at Stanford, could throw it on a rope, tremendous athlete, could run, strongest arm we had ever seen. He was the number one pick because everyone like, oh, that's a franchise quarterback. That guy will carry your franchise for the next 15 years. And you know what? That's what he did in Denver. Dan Marino went at the bottom of the first round of that draft. And he's probably the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. In between, Jim Kelly is in there. There were some misses. Todd Blackledge, Tony Eason, Ken O'Brien. But you're trying to compare this group to the 1983 group? If any of them have careers anywhere near Elway, Kelly, and Marino, it's proof that the league is fixed and flawed and the QB position has been made so easy, I could damn near play it. That's my opinion. We'll bring in an expert we'll bring in an expert on that. Jason Brown, you guys know him, Last Chance Q, comes on the show frequently. He hates everything. And so I know he'll agree with me on this take about tonight's NFL draft. and the real story here, and again, you'll hear a bunch of stories about, oh, Caleb Williams and the Bears and this team and what's going to happen. Oh, and who took Marvin Harrison and what's going to – the real story is the lack of star power at this draft. There is no star power. And this could – be the start of something. You think, oh, well, next year it'll be better because so-and-so. I'm not so sure. They've dumbed this game down, and next year Shedeur Sanders will be a part of the draft, and you'll have Deion playing a race card and talking about he got to play for this team or that team or whatever. Who knows what'll happen. But the days of the college quarterback or the college, Tony Mandrews, do you remember him, the offensive lineman out of Michigan State? They put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the perfect NFL lineman. He turned out to be a bust. But I could rattle off the names of all, you know, the year that Emmitt Smith and Derek Thomas and all those guys came out in the same draft. This ain't it. Those days are over. The biggest star in sports is a woman, Caitlin Clark. Deal with it. Understand it. Don't get mad at me because I keep talking about her and keep pointing this out. This is significant. This is a historic moment and time in the history of sports. This is the culmination of Title IX and the feminist movement and all the other stuff. And I'm sorry, I'm going to support Caitlin Clark, even though it's a reflection of the emasculation of men and the elevation of women. I'm just a sports fan, and I'm just a culture critic, and so I'm going to analyze it, talk about it, point it out, and make us deal with the fact that the feminist movement is winning, slaughtering us. The WNBA draft has more hype, more buzz, more anticipation than the NFL draft. That's amazing. That, look, I want to be clear here. They're going to crush. There'll be 15 million people, I don't know, 20 million. I don't know how many million people watching the NFL draft because people love their teams and no one even knows what cities have teams in the WNBA. No one knows who they're rooting for. They're rooting for Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and they're not rooting for any teams because they don't even know the teams. So it's not a direct comparison. But anyway, before we get to JB, I want to talk to you guys about our great friends at Patriot Mobile. You guys know I have a Patriot Mobile phone and have had one for more than a year. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only ones. Founder Glenn Story and his team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Patriot Mobile's 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Jason or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Jason. Join me. Make the switch today, patriotmobile.com/Jason. That's patriotmobile.com/Jason or call 972-PATRIOT. JB, Jason Brown, next. Hello, Fearless Army. I'm Jason Whitlock, your leader. I'm going to spend 2024 discussing growth and sacrifice. Hard times are here. Harder times are coming. What has stopped American growth and caused a regression in fundamental freedoms and values? A lack of sacrifice. Our ancestors sacrificed for our benefit. We have not sacrificed to protect the progress they died for. No sacrifice, no freedom. What impedes man's willingness to sacrifice? His ignorance, his perversion, his pride, his ingratitude, and his cowardice, his rejection of God. The Bible is a story about the power and the necessity of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the sun, rain, and fertilizer of growth. Growth is our life purpose. Grow in the knowledge, wisdom, fear, obedience, and reverence to the Most High. Growth requires sacrifice will be our theme for Roll Call 2.0 this summer, June 1, right back here in Nashville. We're excited to welcome you. Let me spend a minute explaining what G-R-O-W-T-H actually stands for us in the Fearless Army. The G is for game plan. In order to properly grow, it's essential we work from the strategic game plan spelled out in the Bible. The R, responsibility. As we grow as men, we understand and accept our responsibilities to God, family, and teammates. The O, ownership. We embrace ownership of our destiny. Outsiders do not determine our fate. The W, wisdom. We honor, value, and share the wisdom imparted to us by elders, coaches, and leaders. The T, trust. We must be worthy of trust. The reliability of a man's word defines him far more than popularity and material possessions. The H, humility. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. That's straight from Proverbs 22:4. Come join us in Nashville as we talk about growth and sacrifice and how without sacrifice, there will be no growth. Roll Call 2.0 right here in Nashville, Saturday, June 1st. And there's 500-600 people in our gym. And my name for the wrestling event was UConn Moose Whitlock.
The greatest prospector in the North!
And so I come running into the gym and everybody's chanting, Moose, Moose, Moose. Everybody's screaming and yelling and rooting for me. And I was like, oh my God, what an overwhelming feeling. I had 500 people screaming my name and it felt better than sex.
Yeah, boy.
Time for some last chance Q with JB, Coach Jason Brown. JB, am I crazy for arguing that this NFL draft has no real star power? I'm not excited about any of these quarterbacks. I think this is the least amount of buzz I've had about a group of NFL prospects ever.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I don't see it. I don't see it. This is the worst quarterback class I've seen in a while. I don't understand all the other people's the so-called know-it-all Todd McShays and all these guys. I don't see it. There's not anyone in this draft that I see that I'm like, oh man, I've never seen that guy before. Not one. And the guy that can spin it the best is Michael Penix, who's an older, injury-prone kid who's a lefty. So 16 of the 32 NFL franchises right out the gate have eliminated the left-hander right out the gate. I just had a huge show on the whole draft with Sean King and some ex-NFL players, and we both said the same thing. As a guy that played in the NFL, there's no way you take a lefty anywhere towards the top. And I think he can actually slide in this draft because of injury and being that left-handed guy. So there's not a guy in this draft. We already know it's foregone conclusion.
JB, for just what's the problem with a left-handed quarterback? Explain that to my audience.
Yeah, so like last year, we broke down Tua's film, for instance. Steve Young, of course, great. One of the top probably 10 quarterbacks of all time. I would say Steve Young's a lefty, of course. Ken Stabler, okay. You got two guys. Let's look at the percentages in this world. Most of them have been bust. And here's why. The biggest reason at number one is the ball spins differently. The ball spins off your hand differently. To a 99% majority right-handed world, receivers, if you've never played this game, receivers like the ball to be thrown a certain way. And when a lefty throws the ball, it comes at a guy right-handed. The ball comes turning right instead of left like a right-handed quarterback would throw it. So when a right-handed quarterback throws the ball, the ball spins left. The receiver catches it that way. When the lefty throws it, it spins right. And it's a completely different football, and especially if it has any wobble on it. That's number one. That's just the common sense part of it. Now let's dive into the coaching aspect that most of your audience will never grasp. Number one is your left tackle on a right-handed quarterback is the number two highest paid player in the NFL. He is a left tackle for a reason. You don't just switch a left tackle to a right tackle. So do you have a legitimate right tackle for your left-handed QB, which will now become his backside protection? Number one. Number two, everything is right-hand predominant in this league. That means our bootnakeds, our waggles. If you notice, everything comes off a left run fake action, meaning the whole entire offensive line goes left to sell the run. The QB goes right. Now think of it as a play caller, Jason. I have to get my running game to go right, fake action right, and now boot left. Now I have to be a play caller and say, oh, shoot, it's second down. Third down, I want to be on the right hash, Jason, now. Because I'm a left-handed QB, I got to switch my mindset on second and first down play calling duties to make sure that I'm the most conducive for success on third down so I can sprint out left, give him the field because he's left-handed. Now, does Devontae Adams and these veteran receivers want to play with a left-handed quarterback at this stage in their career? It is a completely different ballgame. Now, my biggest threat, let's say for the Raiders, Devontae Adams is a predominant right-handed receiver, plays on the right side of the formation. Now he has to play on the left side of the formation. This guy's played with Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr. Both of them can spin the ball. Derek's not a great quarterback, but he can throw it. Now I got to change my whole mindset. Now I got to be a left-handed predominant play caller. Getsy, who the new play caller is in the Raiders, he's only been with Aaron Rodgers and Justin Fields. No left-handed quarterbacks there. It takes a lot that goes into this, Jason, to create and draft a left-handed QB. Most people out there won't understand it. So he's going to fall, in my opinion. But to your point, no, don't see anybody that sticks out.
Caleb Williams is such a flake. I just would be like, okay, I'm good. I'm just not going to take that risk. He's too flaky. There's, you know, people are sitting around. People are going to have a discussion tonight about what color his fingernails are painted. I don't want that in my locker room. Call me an idiot. Call me a caveman. I just don't want anticipate. Is he? Oh, what color are his fingernails? Might he wear a dress tonight? I just don't want any of that near my team. I don't want to have to deal with it as a coach. I don't want to have to deal with it as a general manager. Caleb Williams would not be on my draft board, particularly as it relates to the first round.
Yeah, it's crazy because we already think it's foregone conclusion. It's a foregone conclusion that they're taking him. He got rid of Justin Fields. I had Sean King on today. We both talked about this in depth. Here, number one is this. Either Poles knew he was out if he did not win next year with Justin Fields. So he said to get a stay of execution, so to speak, I get three more years if I get rid of Fields and draft a rookie in Caleb Williams. That was his, that's probably business side of thinking on and the Chicago Bears side. Number two, you got rid of a guy named Justin Fields who has 3 years with live ammo shot at him. That is very irreplaceable. It's very priceless in this league. Fast forward 3 years, you get rid of Justin Fields, and now you're starting over just as you were 3 years ago when you drafted Justin Fields. You have the same basic roster. Very, very thin O-line. Defense is got better last year, to, I think finished 10 or 11 or 12 as the year ended. But you have major holes in defense, offensive line, and then you have DJ Moore, in my opinion, is not a number one. He's not taking the top off. And now you have the same exact amount of receivers. You got Mooney and you got DJ Moore. You know, one's average, one's good, but he's a two. He's not a Jamar Chase. He's not one of these big-time receivers. So you basically have the same roster, Jason. 3 years ago, an organization that has basically kept just basically self-inflicting wound. This organization just can't get out of its own way. And I think it's more political than it is anything in this draft with Caleb Williams, because Justin Fields, at least, in my opinion, if Jason, let me ask you a question. If these two are coming out this year, you take Justin Fields or Caleb Williams first?
Well, again, Caleb Williams isn't on my draft board. And so that's an easy answer for me. Yeah, no question.
And we talked about today, out of Ohio State, Justin Fields was bigger, stronger, and faster. And he only got better, even though the team was just bad. And that's what it's so hard because these common naysayers out here just want results. And this is result-oriented business. So you want results. Sometimes it's not just the quarterback. It's the GM, the head coach, the management, and administration. This roster is just really, really – they're not one player away, Jason. They're not one player away.
God, winning. Let's remember that they did add Keenan Allen. I believe, didn't they?
Yeah,
didn't
he's on a 1 year.
Keenan Allen.
He's on a 1 year fixed deal, and let me ask you this: he's older guy, injury prone as well. I love Keenan Allen, but he's at the end of his career. He's on the other side of great. So you're on a 1 year deal. Let me ask you: are you a receiver and a quarterback away in Chicago from being a Super Bowl contender? No. So what I would have did was I would have kept Justin Fields. I would have kept those picks and I would have got assets. I would have got assets in the draft to make my team better as an organization. This organization thinks right now, and they're not right now away. Jason, they're not one player, two players, three players away.
Well, I think as it relates to trading out of the number one pick, it's such a weird year. Because there is no Marvin Harrison is probably the only real can't miss prospect in this draft. And are people willing to trade up to go get him? I'm not sure. So what kind of value could you get for trading this number one pick? Maybe there is an idiot out there that wants Caleb Williams so bad they'd give up something monster to get up to number one. But I doubt it. I think the Bears in a bit of a tough spot. And like you said, as a general manager, Ryan Poles could be sitting there, you know, let me draft a quarterback and I can make the argument to management and Kevin Warren, the president, like, hey, you got to give me 2 or 3 years to make this right with this new quarterback.
Yeah, here's the thing. I believe there's four legitimate tackles in this draft that could help your franchise. And that makes your team better, Jason. But you and I know Brian Poles and his whole thing, it's all about what sells tickets to save your job. So you have to go after sex appeal over what wins games, which is unfortunate. There's really four legitimate O tackles in this draft that the Bears need, that the Panthers need, that a lot of these bottom Washington needs, a lot of these teams need, and they're going to end up going after a quarterback who just does not pop off the radar at me as being some 10-year veteran. I don't see an NFL quarterback in this draft, Jason, playing past 5 years. I see some journeymen.
And that, hold for a second. Drake May, Jaden Daniels, you don't like either one of them?
I like Jaden Daniels. He's my number one QB in this draft. And I've been around him a long time. Got to see him grow up here in Southern California. Here's the thing. I like Jaden. His size scares me as far as weight goes, being able to hold weight. But we'll see. I think he's the most dynamic quarterback in the draft. He did it in the best league in college. He won the Heisman, obviously. But we've seen a lot of Heisman quarterbacks. If you look at it, name me the last Heisman to win a Super Bowl. Here's the thing. After him, in my opinion, Drake May is a big body guy. Reminds me of Carson Wentz. The arm does not pop off his hand. For being 6'4", 6'5", 245, or whatever he is, that ball should be popping off that hand, and he does not have great elite arm strength. He doesn't have great elite ball placement. His accuracy is subpar. You've seen guys wide open where he misses them quite frequently. I think Drake May is a big, big, big overvalued guy in this draft, and Sean King agrees with me.
Can he move at all?
He's not athletically gifted as he's not a Josh Allen. So he's not even a Sam Howell, Jason.
You're calling him Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I think Sam Howell's better than him. I think Sam Howell's better than him coming out of the same school. And I think they got rid of him for a Chico stick and a string cheese. Like, that's what you've seen. If you think about it, Jason, just be honest. Let's talk about quarterbacks for 1 second. Look at what the NFL has gotten rid of this year. You got Justin Fields. You gave him up for a string cheese and some Chico sticks. You didn't get anything in return. You gave up small-handed Pickett in Pittsburgh. You just drafted the kid. Now, remember, we just drafted these guys less than 3 years ago. You gave him up for nothing. You gave up Sam Howell for nothing. You've given up Russell Wilson for nothing. The quarterback position is not really valued by these GMs or coaches like everyone out there thinks. They're willing to get rid of a guy they just drafted 2 years ago and redo it again. It's 2 years later. This is just a bad position, and it's the worst I've ever seen. I'm going to keep saying it. Yes, they're the most athletically gifted guys we've seen. Doesn't make you a great quarterback. The quarterback position is really, really floundering. It is struggling. And you are seeing why we rotate guys. If it's so good, Jason, then why are we drafting guys every year by the same franchises? Why are we drafting the position? And just look 10 years ago, Jason, when Breeze, Manning, Rivers, obviously Russell Wilson at his peak, Tom Brady was still in, Aaron Rodgers at his peak. All these guys that were playing, look at those guys. The majority of the pool of guys on 32 teams in the NFL. Look at it now and just tell me how bad it's gotten. Like, look at Desmond Ridder. Got traded for a Chico stick and some string cheese. Nothing. They just drafted him in Atlanta. Look at the quarterbacks they just drafted. This is a bad product, and it's a bad look on college coaching. It's a bad look, man. And I'm just telling you, this position at it is getting the most money we've ever seen, and we're getting rid of guys, Jason, for nothing. That has to be a telltale sign.
It tells another story as well, though, JB, is that I think they figured out you don't need to elite talent or intangibles. It's just kind of plug and play, and let's hope you catch a hot streak with a quarterback for 2 or 3 years. The whole concept of drafting a quarterback and finding a Patrick Mahomes that you can ride or die with for 15 years, that's kind of out the window. And so it's like, hey, can I get someone here that can give me 6 good years, a Lamar Jackson or whatever, Dak Prescott, and then move on from them? The position is so easy to play now. Again, once you make it this easy, you don't care about who's actually standing in that position. You tell them what to do over a headset. It's not, they never have to call their own plays. They really don't even have to read a defense anymore. And you know, everybody's kind of running the same plays. And we think, and again, maybe C.J. Stroud is a great quarterback. I don't know, because I just don't think the degree of difficulty is at a level where it's easy to judge any of these quarterbacks, off of 1 year. So one other quarterback I want to ask you about that I saw a story, and obviously it was a ridiculous story, that someone was saying that, you know, maybe someone thinks J.J. McCarthy's the best quarterback in this draft and he could go number one or he could be in the top 5. And I'm telling, J.J. McCarthy is the guy. Loved him in Michigan. Loved what Jim Harbaugh got out of him at Michigan. But if we dialed the clock back to 1998, everybody would say, yeah, this is a 4th or 5th round draft pick at quarterback. There wouldn't be a thought. And again, this connects to my point, is that they've made the position so easy that, hey, we think J.J. McCarthy can do it. And, you know, we'll even take him in the 1st round, even though, to me, everything about this guy screams 5th round draft pick.
Okay. Sean King coached him, okay, in high school at IMG, and he's on my show every week. And I asked him specifically this today, and I said, what's the deal? And he said, listen, the kid can make every NFL throw, and he can run, and he can move. Jim didn't use him that way because they had such a physical O-line. They ran the football, and they played great defense. A lot of college football teams, if you notice, they are really, really fragile on defense, and they're really, really, finesse on offense. So when you see that, you go opposite, and it worked for Jim. Jim understands it. He understands you get back in two back, and you pound the football. Other teams on defense don't want to see that, and they won a national title. So you didn't really get to display his skill set, because I haven't seen it, and I question it, and I said, listen, I haven't seen enough from the kid because they didn't display it enough. Sean coached him, so I'm taking his word, a guy that played in the league for 10 years. He's like, JB, I coached him at IMG, man. He has every skill set, every tool you can ask for, but he said he would not take him over Penix. Now, having said that, Jason, let me throw this at you. This will be the first Gen Z quarterback generation in the NFL. Caleb Williams, this Gen Z quarterback era is going to start this year. I'm very interested to find out how this plays out, especially in Chicago. If you do take Caleb, as everyone says, and Chicago says he's our savior, Lord and Jesus Christ, he could be over there right now. If he's the savior in Chicago, and he's this Gen Z kid, and we already have seen his mannerisms and what he does off the field, this could be a huge telltale sign on what's coming down the pike. And I don't know if you know this, but California's going through a huge deal. I've already helped save it once 3 months ago, and now it's back on the docket to cancel youth football. And I had the guy leading this parade yesterday, and he mentioned this. Gen Z and the all-inclusion of football, where we have now 10 states playing women's flag football at high school as a sport. I don't believe it comes a men's sport. I don't believe they make flag football a boy's sport. I believe it's only going to be a women's sport. And like he mentioned yesterday, what do you think happens in 5-10 years? Is this what they want, Jason? Do they want an all-inclusive deal where we have flag football? Look at the Pro Bowl. It's already flag football. We have a problem here, and we need to get rid of flag football. And I believe this is going to telltale sign on how Caleb Williams, how these Gen Z quarterbacks fare in the men's league. Because is it still a men's league? It's very interesting to think about, but this is going to be a telltale sign on this draft, because I want to see these Gen Z quarterbacks and how they actually carry themselves. Because you and I both want a guy to lead men, Jason. Are these really men anymore? Do they care that he paints his nails anymore? Are we the old men on the porch screaming at the cloud? These kids might not care. And to Eric Weddle's point, Super Bowl champ who's on my show every day, he made a great point. We don't care what you do. We don't care if you paint your nails and wear a pink dress and all that. If you win, Jason, but if you lose and you wear all this crap and you do all these stuff that brings us bad attention, we have a major problem. And that's still, he just left the league 2 years ago winning Super Bowl. That's still an issue. So I can see both our points. Yes, Caleb Williams, go ahead and do what you do as a Gen Z. If you don't win, though, you're going to be ostracized. If you do win, nobody will care. So it's going to be a telltale sign.
I want to move on to college football. Deion Sanders was on All the Smoke, I believe, today with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. And I want to play you a couple of different sound bites, get your reaction to both. I want to start with sot number two, where Deion talks about, Colorado, it's a hood thing. Let's take a listen.
I want you to talk to this as a former NFL player. Then I want you to tell me as a coach, because again, you probably have to craft your coaching around these kids.
I do. As a former NFL player, I don't like it because I think certain trials and tribulations you got to go through.
You got to go through to be who you are.
They makes us who we are. Right. Everything we went through, we didn't see it at that time because we didn't know the Lord like we know him now. But it shaped us, man, and molded us and guided us and taught us. It was a light at the end of that tunnel that we was fighting to see and get to, and we made it. But shoot, when you could tap out, you know, it's like MMA, man. You can tap out. When that thing get hot on you, you can tap out. And I don't like that part of it because they forget that the problems travel with them.
Mm.
You don't drop that off like it's luggage, baby. That stuff is going with you. So wherever you go, that envy that you're taking, it's going with you. That jealousy of the other cat that's in the locker room, that's a dog, is going with you. You know, your inconsistency is going with you until you do something about that. I don't like that part. Now, as a coach, I like it because it's room service. I can order what I want. I could try it out, get it. I could go say, let me see. I do it a little different, though. I call the barbershops. We hood this thing. I want to know everything about the kid before we bring him in here. Let's call everybody in the community, everybody in the neighborhood. I want to know what he was like when he was a shorty. So when you come in here, you fit because we're different here. It ain't like no regular program, man. We're a little different here. We move a little different. We talk a little different. We act a little different. We want you to be unapologetically you, but let's do it in order with structure because I'm also trying to get you ready for the next level.
Next level. So he's talking about the transfer portal there, obviously. And, you know, as a player, he doesn't want him moving around. But as a coach, he likes him moving around because he can order what he wants, even though their problems travel with him. Anyway, your thoughts.
Okay, there's two things. Here's the thing. I made a point that nobody thought of, I guess, because everybody was like, oh, man, a great point on my show. Here's the thing. Him and his, I guess, his handler came out and addressed the media yesterday when the Dylan Edwards kid transferred out. And they basically said that we announced that we're going to have him as the number two. We brought in a kid from Ohio State. We brought in these players. And it's basically they're telling, this is his handler speaking. I believe his name is Nelly or something. He said basically that they don't want to compete. It's a lack of competition. They see it and they want to go and they leave for that reason. And they just don't want to fight. They don't want to scrap. They don't want to compete. And so they enter the portal. And he mentioned chronological order on why people are leaving. It's because they don't want to compete and they want a better opportunity. Now, how can you say that and then, you know, saying that this is the reason they leave? So, Jason, I got a question for you. If that's the reason they're leaving, so are they coming in different? Because they're the same guys coming in. It makes zero sense. It's an absolute oxymoron. They're leaving another program because they don't want to compete, Jason. So now you're coming into Colorado and you don't want to compete? What are we talking about here? This is the reason why I say sometimes you just got to be quiet and have some humility and just go out and play at this point, because you're making too much content for us all out here. And you're starting to say so much, Jason, that now we're dissecting what you say and calling BS. Because you can't say one thing about a kid leaving because he don't want to compete and then taking another kid who left for not competing at Ohio State or whatever other school. It makes zero sense. And this is why I'm critical. I'm critical because you're throwing kids to the wayside instead of developing them. This is college football. This is why I said the other day on your show, this is JUCO now. This is the epitome of junior college football. And everyone wants to get in the comments on Instagram and say, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, you're the guy that never coached or played. We are. And this is junior college football at its finest, Jason. We take damaged goods and try to fix them. Now we're throwing away the damaged goods.
Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. They're all fired up about this kid they got from Pittsburgh. He had issues at Pittsburgh, the defensive end. And again, there's a certain guy that's got to fit our program, and we want to know who the barber was, and we want to know what he was like as a shorty. Well, this kid they got from Pittsburgh that they're all fired up on, there's information out there about him, but he's a solution for Deion. This is the hypocrisy you're talking about.
And not only that, he made a comment. Listen, I don't root for anyone's failures, especially when it comes to kids, because at the end of the day, the kids are, it's like the baby mama syndrome that we grew up in the inner city, that they have three or four kids and they have three or four jobs and they're trying to raise a boy to be a man. And I just don't agree. You can, as a woman, as hard as they work and as much as they do, you can't raise a boy to be a man. Without the man, you're going to struggle. So when these coaches go to the mom and recruit their child, in the hood, as he said, hood coaching and recruiting, you can't build a you can't recruit a hood without having a relationship, Jason, with not only the mama, but everybody involved. You can't build a relationship with a kid in 2 to 3 days, let's just say 2 to 3 weeks. Let's say that, since there's four portal openings now in this business. How do you build a relationship with a kid and really know what you're getting? It is damaged goods. It is junior college football at its finest. And if you're willing to throw them to the wayside so quickly after selling them a used car and getting them to buy it in the first place, what are we really doing? Why are we coaching? Because teaching is coaching and coaching is teaching. I don't know what we're teaching. We're not teaching the right thing, I'll tell you that. And I think we're allowing it instead of coaching it. And I just can't understand how we've created a meat market using these babies as the pieces of meat. It is unbelievable what the NCAA has done and allowed. And again, they're the judge, the jury, and the executioner, yet they don't want to pay any kids. They want to get collectives. They've wiped their hands clean again. They've made billions of dollars, yet will fine you, suspend a Jim Harbaugh, will suspend a kid like Bryce Young who flew his girlfriend to the Rose Bowl, took Reggie Bush's Heisman, who they just gave back. That's a whole other scenario that I have to take on that a lot of people won't like. This is just a very, very peculiar situation, and I just think the kids are being thrown to the wayside without any development whatsoever, and that's one reason they left. Jason, just as of 24 hours ago, 3,600 kids, which I still have access to, are in the portal. 3,600 kids just entered the portal as of 24 hours ago. It's not, do the math, Jason. There's 132 Division I playing football schools. Come on, man. Even if they all took 30 kids, you're still short thousands. Like, this just doesn't make sense. The NCAA has created a meat market.
Your math is a little bit off there, JB, but I don't have time to correct you. But I hear you. You made a good point. I think 100 times 30 is 3,000. But anyway, I want to play one final Deion clip where he talks about, I talk NFL, I don't talk NIL. Play the clip.
It was always the NCAA, not versus the players, but the NCAA was always eating and we was never eating. So right now, obviously, these kids are eating. coaches are having problems, media, everyone has a problem with it. I love it, but I feel like there should be more guidelines with it. Maybe.
How do you start? You're right.
So my question is, do you see it as well? I'm on the outside looking in.
It's crazy. It's crazy because just talking to a parent yesterday and, you know, we got the good part out the way. And she, I said, Mom, go ahead, ask me everything you want to ask me. Come on now. You know, I'm straight up. And she asked me her things. Then she said, well, what about NIL? I said, this is not my department. I'm about NFL. You can talk to NIL about somebody else because when you start talking about money to me, that rubs me the wrong way with your shorty. I want to look at him as a dog that wants to go to the NFL, you know, not the NIL, because it has become business. And even reporters look at kids different now. Now they're taking shots at these kids. Yeah, because once upon a time, you know, a college kid was untouchable. You couldn't say things to them or ridicule them because they were amateurs. Now these are paid professionals.
He makes a good point here, but it's obvious and that Deion is a big part of how we got here to NIL. He was always about money and how, you know, flashing money. And the hypocrisy is just too much for me. But your thoughts?
Here's the thing, Jason. Everyone out there supposedly loves NIL. I haven't heard one person say, I love the NIL and just don't say nothing else after that. Why is it always, I love the NIL, but I would like to see. I love the NIL, but. I love the NIL, but we have to put a restriction. I love the NIL, but we need to cap it. I love the NIL. Like, you don't love the NIL. And the NIL is ruining this thing. I believe the portal is the worst thing in football, but the NIL has created this false narrative and this falsehood of, oh, I'm going to make $1 million in college. Well, guess what? 1% of them guys, less than 1%, is, I think it's 0.001% make that dollar. Caleb Williams, you get a Shedeur Sanders, you get a few guys. Let's be honest. The average NIL deal is $350. So everybody on those rosters are in a roster listening to a Coach Sanders or whoever, Coach Saban, that's why he left, talk to them, maybe ripping their butt, maybe yelling at them. All those kids, 99% of them make $350. So the guys making millions, they're looking at, not listening to the coach, they're looking at them and saying, man, I'm going to go in the portal because guess what? Greener pastures are over there. I can go make this money. In theory, you really can't. And it has created a huge divisive locker room. And this is why we have 3,600 transfers and why there's no continuity and why this game has become so watered down. And you can't like the NIL, but there's clearly an issue with NIL. It's horrible. It's ruining the game. And the transfer portal has allowed NIL to ruin the game. Leave NIL how it is, Jason. Get rid of the transfer portal. You fixed your whole issue. And then leave it at that. Whoever is the good players, get the money. If you're not that good, live with it. Or don't play. Don't play. Because where are you going to play at, Jason? And to Deion's point, if you're going to go to the NFL, you still have to play college football. So why are the grown men in the room, and when are the grown men in the room going to say, you know what? I ain't paying you anything. Go ahead and sit out. Don't play then. Good luck. You're not going to the NFL. When are the grown men going to say enough is enough? Because this has ruined it. This is beyond. You can't put this pace back in the tube. It's done. And there's no reeling it back. We have created a monster, and the NCAA can care less. They just made a more lax rule, Jason, last week. That now you can transfer it anytime. I'm telling you right now, Jason, before the year is out, you will see a kid at Miami and at week one, and you'll see him at Florida State week 10. Two completely different jerseys in the same season. We have lost our mind. We are in a kid from USC just transferred to UCLA, Jason. You lived on the West Coast long enough. He went from SC to UCLA, and he just went back to SC yesterday. In what world is that ever going to – when did we ever accept that? And think about it, Jason. This is what NIL has done to rosters on a big macro scale of things. What do you and I used to?
Oh, go ahead.
What did you and I used to live at? Ball State. Where'd you live? Dorm, right?
The dorm. Yeah.
Dorm. You got people that you grew up with in those dorms on that football team you still talk to this day. I'm sure you have reunions. I'm sure you still have great friends from that era. I just want to know.
Yes.
If you got kids living in apartments, living on the beach at USC in condos, and you got beach houses being rented out to these players now in this NIL era, how good and how much backing do you think these guys, our brothers, we used to call them our brothers, are giving each other? How much camaraderie is being built? How many friendships are being created? How many people are going to ride or die, as they say, with them? There's no more. This game is completely upside down, inside out, and there is not anything being created. And I started my show today, monologue off, Jason, saying this. Are schools really happy on borrowing a Heisman Trophy winner? Is Caleb Williams Heisman Trophy USC's, or is it Caleb Williams? Because you can't go from school to school to school to school and you 1 year borrow, win a Heisman, and then you leave again. Look at the guys that have been left schools that they were at for multiple years and then transfer and win a Heisman. I'm wondering if you can have success borrowing each other. Schools are borrowing players. Players are borrowing the school. I just don't see this being conducive very long. And I think this is imploding in front of our very eyes, and it's going to be unwatchable very soon.
Thank you, JB. Great job. Have a great draft night tonight. We'll play tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
Freedom, looking for a breakout, feeling like a standoff, nothing in life like freedom. Came in like a fighter, striking like a ladder, making all this moves for freedom. I want freedom. No negotiation, my sister, no relation, we all just wanna have freedom. Sitting on a corner, never been alone, I'm breaking my back for freedom. Bless, we are living, get back, we are receiving, all deceiving, we all wanna be free. We want freedom.